Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Bitcoin and other digital currencies continue to tumble in value amid concerns that Wall Street institutions are shunning cryptocurrencies. To map the planet's winds, the British-built Aeolus satellite has begun firing its lasers down on Earth. A self-driving bus has begun shuttle service in Calgary. And we may not have colonies on Mars and faster-than-light travel yet, but if you have a Vizio TV, you'll get a taste of a bizarre feature wherein gadgets turn against their makers after first betraying their owners. Also, a pop-up informing you that your TV has been spying on you and will prompt you to sue its own manufacturer. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Bitcoin and other digital currencies have continued to tumble in value amid concerns that Wall Street institutions are shunning cryptocurrencies. It follows media reports, originally in Business Insider, that American investment bank Goldman Sachs was shelving plans to set up a cryptocurrency trading desk. Goldman Sachs CFO Martin Chavez has since made publicly clear that the reports were false. He says, "I never thought I would hear myself use this term, but I really have to describe that news as fake news. The truth of the matter is, Wall Street is loving cryptos. They're even opening an exchange, and NASDAQ is investing in a tool to predict crypto price movements. Bitcoin has lost two-thirds of its value in the past 9 months. It was trading above $19,000 in December, and if it continues to fall, it could threaten this year's low of $5,887. This can affect the value of other coins too, especially altcoins, whose value are based on the value of Bitcoin. The future regulatory framework for digital coins remains unclear. In the United States, the U.S. Securities and the Exchange Commission has warned that some coins might be regarded as securities, which means dealing in them may become subject to federal law. According to CoinMarketCap, the overall market capitalization of virtual currencies has lost three-quarters of its value since January peak, slumping from $800 billion to around $200 billion now. Blockchain technology enables us to use and transact currency quickly, safely, and trustingly. It enables anyone to set up automated self-employed business where smart contracts will enable vendors to get paid directly by a customer with no middleman. You're already able to create your own currency to pay for those services, so what's going wrong? Here's our crypto correspondent, Robert Koning, to share his thoughts on the state of Bitcoin.
So what's the reason for this huge drop in market valuation? From my point of view, the main one is lack of education. I've seen so many people in this market that have got no clue what they're talking about. A lot of YouTubers Twitter also, that have got an opinion, that are shilling a coin, and really don't know what they're talking about. Many people don't even understand what the blockchain is. So that's the main reason that a lot of information is in the market that is false, and therefore one has to be very careful in listening exactly where the news is coming from. Even big magazines and news outlets are bringing out news that are not correct. On the other hand, there's also no real use case or mass adoption in this crypto market. It's an early stage. If you look at Bitcoin, it's still at version 0. I don't know what. So it's not version 1. We're still some time away of many people being able to use or even invest into cryptos. If you look at who is participating in the market, it's merely probably less than 1% globally people that can participate or are currently participating in this market. There is some manipulation happening because it's not regulated, it's global. There is manipulation happening, and so that's why there's a reason the price to drop or go up. The market is really bullish, not from the financial point of view, but from the outlook of where cryptocurrencies are going to be in a few years' time. It's going to be a huge market. That's probably even guaranteed that that's big. Every big company, every financial institution is looking into this year, participating and doing something. Just from the logical point of view, it is going to be huge. So there is nothing to fear from the basis of cryptocurrencies. Coming into that, I received two questions that I'd like to answer, which go in sync with what I just said. I mean, Sean asked, for example, how can I participate? Now, Sean, there are three aspects to this. One is investing. Yeah, so, and this is not financial advice. This is just my point of view on how I see the situation. If you want to invest in this market, probably it's a good time to do it now. The price went down from 20,000 to now, let's say, around 6,000. It can go a little bit further down. There are some people saying it can go down to 5,000, but which is not a huge drop from the risk-taking point of view. You can't even wait a few months or a few weeks before you invest, but it's a good point to start investing into cryptos. The other one, how I can participate, is from the programming. Now, that is really attractive. There's a huge downside, or there's a huge market opportunity for programmers. And I would definitely, if you like to program, I would definitely go into this market and start learning how to program in EOS, Ethereum, and so on. And the other one is for those people that want to build something. First recommendation is learn about blockchain. Yeah, if you don't know what blockchain is, don't touch it. And then start dreaming about applications that would be new, so that where there's no case out there and where you can really change something in your environment or in the bigger picture and start building something. It's not that difficult. And the next question is Michael. He asked, I heard that there are issues of concern around cryptocurrencies, including potential money laundering and market manipulation. Well, Michael, yes, market manipulation, yes, that's there. All the big, like SEC and so on, they're looking into this year, and they will find those that are manipulating the market, and they will be penalized. I'm pretty sure about that. The potential of money laundering, that is not there. That is just a myth. It's much easier to launder money with US dollars or Canadian dollars or euros than with cryptocurrencies. And why? Because the cryptocurrency stays on a blockchain, and therefore you can always go back to any transaction that was made and really find out what happened. Yeah, with US dollars, you can't. Once they're spent, they're gone. Blockchain, it's there. You can still find in Bitcoin, for example, the first transaction that was made by Satoshi Nakamoto back in 2009. That is there. You can see it. And so I cannot recommend doing any money laundering or any criminal activities on a blockchain, because it will be visible, and also the government knows who's participating where, because the companies like Coinbase have to report, and you can see what public key is linked to what name, and so you can track the person, the activities of a person in regards to cryptocurrencies. Now, there is, of course, those privacy coins like Monero and Zcash and so on that will not allow you to do that at the moment, so I would not bank on that. So I don't see that as a potential money laundering thing. That's just something that is out there in the market, but it's not really an issue and will never be an issue, because cash will always be a better tool to do these things. Right, that's it. That's it from me here. And back to the studio. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. The British-built ALS satellite has begun firing its lasers down on Earth to map the planet's winds. It's a big moment for the European Space Agency mission, as the technology took 16 years to develop. Launched 3 weeks ago from the Kourou spaceport in French Guiana, ALS is now undergoing 3 months of testing. Once this is complete, scientists will start assessing the satellite's wind data for inclusion in weather models. Its maps are expected to bring significant improvement in the accuracy of medium-range forecasts, those that look a few days ahead. Dr. Mark Drinkwater, who heads the agency's Earth and Mission Science Division, says, "It's a euphoric feeling and a proud moment to reach this milestone after overcoming the first technical challenge to build, launch, and operate this complex wind LIDAR. Now we are arguably some of Europe's most patient and scientists and weather services eagerly wait to take over the baton. At the moment, wind data comes from multiple but patchy sources, such as weather balloons. ALS will be the first system to gather wind information all across the globe, from the ground up to nearly 30 kilometers in altitude. It will do this by firing a powerful ultraviolet laser down into the atmosphere. With the aid of a telescope and a sensitive detector, it will then look for the way the pulsed beam's light is scattered back off the air molecules, water droplets, and dust particles. This should reveal basic details about air movement, and numerical weather models will be adjusted to take account of it. Experts confirm that the laser's first days of working revealed clear features of the wind."
I love that they're able to use LIDAR as a technology to do this. Like the same thing that makes autonomous vehicles possible.
Right. And I mean, my basic knowledge of LIDAR comes from an interview we did,
And we were looking at the City of the Monkey God.
Right.
And with that, they used LIDAR from an airplane to be able to see through the jungle cover into like ruins.
Right. So now they're using LIDAR from the sky down and looking at wind patterns, which a medium range weather forecast with accuracy would be amazing. And now there would be no more jokes left on Earth, because pretty much every joke is about how bad weather forecasts are.
Oh, it's true.
But it is
true. It's annoying.
Yeah.
So if they can improve that, I'm game.
They'll be happy. So I thought to myself, like, is LIDAR, like ultraviolet laser rays that are streaming down to Earth, is that going to...
Robot brains.
Is that going to be a problem? So
like cancer-causing elements and things like
well,
that?
Well, I didn't know either. So I was thinking more like along the lines of, what's it going to do to people... Like, not people. What's it going to do to life that isn't people? Right? Mm-hmm. Like plants.
I think it's pretty passive. LIDAR is a very passive technology.
It's completely safe. I was looking it up just to see, like, ultraviolet light already exists, right? So if you concentrate it a little bit, what's going to happen? Well, all plants and animals that are hanging out in the atmosphere already have their own natural sunscreen, UV sunscreen. So we're
with
fine.
ALS in the atmosphere, do we need to wear like SPF 120?
We need nothing.
Nothing?
We're good.
We just take advantage of the fact that we'll know when it's going to be sunny out.
Right.
So we know to put on SPF 60.
And I mean, in this day and age, like the weather patterns have been kind of crazy and unpredictable right now. There's some storms going on. And I just think if we can get just really as specific as possible, we can really, it's a safety thing really more than anything for...
It can be. Absolutely. Yeah. There are times when it is a safety thing, and we certainly feel that right now.
Exactly. So, very cool. An autonomous vehicle billed as the future of transportation is spending the month ferrying passengers between two neighboring tourist attractions in Calgary, Alberta. The autonomous electric bus is named Ella, and it stands for Electronic Automation. And Saturday marked its maiden voyage between the Calgary Zoo and the TELUS Spark Science Center next door. It can carry up to 12 people at a time, and its speed has been limited to 12 kilometers an hour for its short journeys between the zoo and the science center. Ella runs on two key technologies. Josephine Tsang of TELUS Spark describes one as a super fancy version of a GPS, and the other is LIDAR, short for light detection and ranging, which is used to detect pedestrians or other obstacles in the vehicle's path. TELUS Spark is one of the two companies sponsoring Ella's time in Calgary, along with energy giant ATCO. The federal government has also put a $50,000 grant toward the project. The vehicle is being billed as the first electronic autonomous shuttle in Canada able to be used as by the public. Manufacturer Easy Mile let members of the public board a similar vehicle in Montreal last year, but that vehicle stayed on the Olympic Park property. Ella's presence in Calgary isn't only about showing off the emerging technology of autonomous vehicles. Researchers are watching to see how Ella performs on the gravel roadways linking the zoo and the science center, and the University of Calgary students are studying passengers' reaction to the vehicle. While there might not be anybody controlling Ella directly as it makes its trips back and forth, there is a backup system in case emergency human intervention is needed. Tsang said there is an operator on the bus to make sure everything is running smoothly. The vehicle will spend September in Calgary before moving to Edmonton next month.
So the technology is actually happening.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's real. Again, about LIDAR, it's it's literally everywhere now. I love the fact that
such
we can
see. Such a sophisticated type of, like, LIDAR kind of alludes to radar, right?
Right.
Like the, you know, send a signal, receive it back, send a signal, receive it back. But it's so detailed.
Right.
It's so precise. Like, if you think about dots per inch in terms of, like, imagery.
Right.
It's so clear.
Exactly.
And so it can make out things like a human form, a pedestrian, and things like that.
Easily. So I was thinking, now I'm a little VR obsessed, as we might realize.
You don't
but
say.
The human intervention.
She buys a VR headset, and now all of a sudden she's obsessed.
I'm obsessed. So the VR aspect of this that I was thinking is we probably don't actually need a human operator, to be honest with you.
You think we need them in a VR headset?
We need somebody at a central hub that can control many and just flip with VR to the actual bus and be able to actually control.
Oh, this sounds so sci-fi.
We don't actually need a person there.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Everything that we're talking about 10 years ago, I would have said, that sounds so fi now. Right?
Right.
But this is real.
This is real.
So when will that become real? When will the avatars become reality?
I don't think we actually need a real person in there. Also, funny little side note is the fact that they picked those two locations in a city in Canada because it's a gravel road.
Like, let's experience.
That connects them.
Yeah.
It's
a corduroy road up there in Canada. On the west coast of Canada, there's a corduroy road connecting the zoo and whatever.
Yeah, the Spark Center.
Yeah. And they're right next door, so yeah. It doesn't have to go far.
Yeah. Also, side note, they called it the Easy Mile. The company's called Easy Mile. I get it. But we're in Canada now. It's an easy kilometer.
Easy 2.6 kilometers.
That's right.
Something like that.
Yeah. We may not have colonies on Mars and faster than light travel yet, but if you have a Vizio TV, you will get a taste of a bizarre feature where gadgets turn against their makers after first betraying their owners. Also, a pop-up informing you that your TV has been spying on you will prompt you to sue its own manufacturer. All this gadget drama started on November 2015 when journalistic watchdog ProPublica exposed Vizio for illegally using its popular smart TVs to spy on its customers. The secret feature recorded what, when, and where its TV users were watching in order to sell their viewing habits data to advertisers. Then advertisers could use that data to find you on your phone and other devices and target you with your advertisements tailored to those habits. Pretty sleazy. The company argued that it was innocent and that all data recording was anonymous, not specific to each user, and asked the class action lawsuit to be dismissed. But a California federal judge didn't buy its arguments two times, in March and July, allowing the legal process to continue. This was despite the fact that in February 2017, the company came to a very friendly $2.2 million settlement with the FTC on this investigation. As part of the legal process against the company, it agreed to push a notice to all affected smart TVs alerting consumers of what happened and what their rights are. The notice should show up sometime between September 12th and October 3rd. Now more than ever, if you are a Vizio smart TV owner, stay tuned.
What kind of TV do you have?
I have a Panasonic.
Okay.
Yes, a Panasonic. I remember because when the washing machines were blowing up or whatever it was, I was really worried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could like be any moment. I'm looking at the calendar here, and today when we're filming this episode is the 12th. So you may be watching this on your Vizio TV, and suddenly there's that pop-up.
The pop-up, right.
Which they would do because they would know that you're watching Category 5, and you would immediately close it, ignoring the pop-up because you want to watch the show.
Right.
So it's strategy, right? Artificial intelligence and
machine
learning.
They've got this. They know exactly what you're watching and
why. They know exactly how to avoid getting in trouble.
Right.
Interesting, right? I mean, we talk about future technology and thinking that, okay, well, what would happen if robots suddenly, you know, went through a lawsuit because they're monitoring? What happens if Alexa? I'm sorry. Oh, I keep doing that.
And then now every Alexa everywhere is like... Oh.
Cancel. We're cool, my babies, YouTube. We're cool. YouTube, I don't want to hear about it. True story.
Yeah, what happens legally?
What happens if?
Right.
Yeah. And then what are the ramifications and what does that do for the services? Because if it's deemed that, hey, if we develop a service that does what these devices, which I'm not going to say the word because I caught myself, what if these devices are monitoring our every speech and things? And now we can't create the product that people want to be able to ask it for the weather and the cookie recipes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we can't manufacture that because we're going to get sued?
Right.
There comes a point. I guess what it comes down to, I guess where I would have to stop that trail of thought and say, okay, where this is different is that Vizio didn't disclose this to their users. When I buy an Echo, see how I did that? I know what I'm getting myself into. I know that she's listening.
Right.
When I
exactly.
buy, right? So is that there? Is that my opt-in? Is that my approval of, okay, I understand that if I'm watching Category 5 and the host messes up, that I'm probably going to order a dollhouse?
And a pound of sugar cookies? Here's the thing, though. I think that it's not about the collection of the information. I assume that there is a lot of my privacy that I expect is private, but is not private. Like, right. I expect that when I'm in my living room having a conversation with the devices around me, probably they're absorbing some of that conversation. Mm-hmm. That I'm actually pretty okay with. It's the selling it to somebody else that I'm not okay with.
But if it's... Are we coming into a world, though, Sasha, where, like, because when I'm on my computer and I'm looking around, suddenly I start getting ads for things that, oh my goodness, I really want that. That's so me. That's what I've been looking for.
Right.
Right? So if I'm having a conversation with my wife and it's a private conversation and it's being recorded anonymously in such a way that it's really just picking up on keywords and trends.
Right.
And kind of it's making a kind of a picture of what kinds of things I like.
Right.
If I have particular political views or if I'm interested in certain technologies, if I come home and tell my wife about how excited I am about the Rock Pro 64, and then suddenly I start seeing advertisements for, they've got a new case for it.
Right.
Oh, you know, that's where the technology has to go.
It's true. I mean, I know that there are some people who are kind of up in arms about having a conversation about something and then seeing advertisements for it, you know, days later. Somewhat, I feel you. But other ways, I think it's a bit of selective perception. Like, it's that you're seeing it now because you talked about it, not that you're because You're more aware because you've talked about it. It was probably already there in some cases. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, does that make sense? I know that the very things I search for are being advertised to me. So.
Right, the things you search for, but not the conversations you have.
Not yet.
Right.
I don't have one of those devices.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not against it. I'm not against it.
And I think that there is that line where we are opting into the technologies that we are purchasing. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, hey, this is okay. I've got my smartphone. I'm using All Right Google.
Right.
And see, I care about my community. And so if I'm using that, then am I opted into, yeah, all right, I have to be okay with what they're using that data for.
Right.
Right. So maybe I'm not, maybe I am.
I guess I am. I'm like right now currently in like obsessed, like infatuated with the tell me about my day feature.
Oh, sure.
Right. Yeah.
Give me some good news here, girl.
Well, they won't. Yeah. They won't give me good news.
They won't do it in Canada, but
they don't support good news
I'm
here.
I'm sorry, there is no good news in Canada.
Yes, but I ask it to tell me about my day, and the assistant is amazing.
I love it.
I know everything that's going to happen. I know the weather. I know how long it's going to take me to my next thing. I am down. I'll know the weather better once LiDAR gets better.
Look out for the
better.
Piano.
Exactly.
Yeah. We are unfortunately out of time, but please comment below. Let us know what your thoughts are about these kinds of technologies, listening, eavesdropping, collecting data in order to advertise to us. Is it okay? Is it something that we've opted into with the society that we live in and the technologies that are around us? Or is it something that you're totally uncool with? Let us know in the comment below.
Yes. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash, Game Fairs, and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
Thank you, Sasha. And I'm Robbie Ferguson. It's been such a pleasure having you here again with us this week. And we're looking forward to seeing you again 1 week from now. Take care.